December 2004. 2004. This is a recording of Mrs. Withers, who was kitchen maid to Lord Besborough at Stanstead House.
Hello. I was born in 1928 in Lyndhurst in the New Forest. My mother was married to a sailor who was out abroad, and I don't quite know where he was at the time, but anyway, we lived at home until we were 20 months old, when my father was taken ill on board ship, and he was taken back to Plymouth, and he had a bad hernia, which because he was kept in bed too long, which they wouldn't do now, he had an embolism and died. And at 30, he was 34, my mother was 29, and she was left with four children under six. Life must have got hectic, but my brother and I, we were twins, we didn't know a lot about it. Perhaps we were the lucky ones. My eldest sister was six, and my second one was four. Mother tried to manage on the naval pension, but found it impossible. Asked help of the Navy, and they said, there are places for you to put your children, and you are young enough to go out and earn money. Which, in the end, is what happened. They put the two older children into the naval home in Portsmouth, and my brother and I were put out with a maiden lady to be looked after. Maiden lady is wonderful because it actually describes the lady who did look after us. And she'd lost her sweetheart in the war and never married. We stayed there till we were nearly four, September before we were four. And no memories, only of being very happy. And then of course, yes, auntie cousins we always called her, and she lived in a sort of a wooden hut thing round Kelball, which is about 3 miles from Totten. So she looked after my brother Gordon and myself. My maiden name was Webb, and we lived happily there. I hated it when we left.
What age did you
leave? 4 3/4. And we were taken down to the, if you ever knew Portsmouth, you'd know what the naval home was like. It was a huge, great building in St. Michael's Road. And we were taken up to the infant department. And we had to go up an iron staircase, which I hated. And I've hated them ever since. I didn't like iron staircases. And the infant department I never liked, rather surprisingly. My brother and I, we were only kept together, the nearest we were kept together, because we were boys and girls mixed up to the age of seven. And they had the boys one end of the dormitory, the girls the other end. So my brother was the end of one end and I was the end of the other end. So we were actually facing each other in the dormitory, but that was as close as we got. Because I think if you're not very happy in a place, you don't take a lot of notice of it. So I really didn't take a frightful lot of notice of it. We went home for the month of August. My mother had remarried in the meantime, a man who was disabled. And we used to go to his home. He didn't like children very much, but he had to put up with us for a month. We used to spend a fortnight with an aunt up in Salisbury, up Avon, which is quite a way the other side of Salisbury, towards Marlborough. And this continued for some years. My brother was seriously ill around about 6 years old. He had diphtheria followed by meningitis and God knows what else. He was always a bit of a weakling. And so I never saw him for 12 months. And this time my two sisters were up in what we called the big girls. That was from 7 up till 16 they used to stay. And so we didn't see them either. And then at 7 years old they split the boys off from the girls. The boys were sent down to a place in Swanby in Kent. And the girls went up to the big girls, as they say. Now that was better. I was never so unhappy up there as I was in the infants. Amazing times. I mean, say Christmas time, we had the most superb parties. We went to every naval establishment in the district. And when they came to the time when they say children could go home for Christmas if they had somewhere to go, most of us said, we don't want to go home Christmas. The Christmases were wonderful. They were really well done. We were looked after. Every child got up to a Christmas stocking on Christmas morning. There was always something left on the table by your breakfast. And presents from home were always unpacked after Christmas dinner. And we had the usual turkey and what have you. And life on the whole was great fun. It wasn't home, but it wasn't bad. You learnt to be, keep out of the way and be anonymous if that's humanly possible. I saw more of my middle sister then, but not all that much because ages were kept very much to themselves. And the girls left school at 14. They were sent to various places in the house. They did a month doing housework, a month doing kitchen work, a month doing laundry work, and anything else that cropped up. Of course, in the sewing room, because they had to have one, everything was homemade. Everything was handmade. Knitting was all handmade. All jumpers were handmade. So every girl had to do a month in each different department until they were 16. My eldest sister was just 16 when the war broke out, and she went straight off to service. I don't really know how she got on because I didn't hear a lot from her. My second sister was 14 when the war broke out and had just left school. So rather surprisingly, she was sent out to work in domestic service. She worked in a hotel in Lyndhurst. And I didn't see anything of him. And matey here was just evacuated. This is where the fun of the schools begins, because we were evacuated, because I went to St George's School in Portsmouth, and Joan went to St Luke's. So I was anyway drafted with Joan anyway to go if the war broke out. So I went with St Luke's lot anyway, and we were sent over to the Isle of Wight. Now, I've never known such freedom in my life. I loved that year I spent on the Isle of Wight.
Where were you?
In Newport. I really loved it. I'd never had freedom before. I never saw any of my family. No, I didn't see my mother, didn't see the sister, didn't see my brother. Didn't see him for about 3 years, I don't think. And I was over there for 12 months.
Did you live with a family?
I lived with a family. In fact, I lived with two families. One was great fun. They were Irish and Roman Catholic. And all hell let loose every Sunday morning until everybody had been to Mass. And only the youngest son was about 14, so I was about coming up to 12. Used to go out and play football with him at the back somewhere. But it wasn't bad, and then they moved house, I think, and I was moved up with a couple with one young boy. And they didn't really have room for me because this boy was getting about 3 years old. needing a bedroom of his own. So then I then went back to the home, which in the meantime had moved up to Waterlooville. So I went to Waterlooville and I was there for 3 weeks. Went to Cape Lane School for 3 weeks, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I'd never been to a school where we moved from class to class, and I loved it. But anyway, I was only there for 3 weeks, and they found me a place at Preston Candover. So I went to school there for the last two years of school, and there again, the freedom was amazing. We went to two homes there. One was a farm, a farm worker's cottage, but they decided that was a bit far for us to have to walk to three miles to school and back. But anyway, they found me somewhere to stay in the village itself of Preston Candover. A typical village. And we were evacuated there for about 18 months we spent there. And I left school at 14, not having achieved very much. And back to Waterlooville, back to Waterlooville. I spent 4 years back in Waterlooville at Hopfields. I have a friend I still keep in contact with. She lives on the Isle of Wight. She married the son of the people she was evacuated with. And I ended up marrying the woman's brother who I was evacuated to, if you understand what I mean. Having been evacuated to Lucy, where I was very happy, the other girl I was with wasn't. She could never get on, because Lucy was amazing. She had a temper that would come up suddenly and drop down suddenly. I always got on with her, Nora didn't. We never got on with each other, but we'd always been put together because there was only 6 days between our dates of birth. And I'd always been pushed for her. But anyway, Preston Candover was quite fun in a way, because in the last year at school we used to get included in the local pantomime and all the rest of it, because the headmaster was in charge of the local pantomime and the drama society. Lucy was also into drama. She always played the lead in the local pantomime. So the girls in the top class were always allowed to be in the chorus in the pantomime. So great fun, you know. Times up there. And there again, we could roam, which was lovely. We could, wander, which is something I've never had in my childhood. So I did appreciate that very much. But we left, as I left there at 14, went back to Hopfields in Waterlooville. And contrary to what they used to do, I was put in the kitchen and I never went out from the kitchen. And we learnt how to feed, how everybody was fed. We could remember the old days when you knew exactly what the menu was every day. You knew what you were going to have for breakfast. You knew what you were going to have for lunch on Monday, and lunch on Tuesday, and lunch on Wednesday. But things had eased a bit since then. And I had 2 years to do before they thought about putting anybody out to work. So we knew we had to do the 2 years. Now, Sheila, my mate there, she was, I don't know what they called her exactly. She looked after the staff room and had to do a certain amount of housework. But we weren't shifted round because there wasn't a room anyway, not in Waterlooville then. And we had good times. A lot of bad times. I'm very lucky in my life. I don't think, always see the funny side of things, fortunately. And we still went to some of the naval parties. During the war, of course, they had naval camps at Stockheath, they had naval camps over at Hayling. HMS Norden was over there, and of course, Christmas went back to normal. We went to all these various places we used to go. We all went to places. And at 16, of course, we were now coming up to the age when you'd have to register for employment and what have you. And they took Sheila and I up, both on as permanent staff. So we went from having 2 shillings a month of which we saved a shilling, to actually earning about 10 shillings a week. And both Shirley and I both stuck it, stuck it for 2 years. And then one day. Oh yes, the keep was, yes, keep was included. Oh yes, it wasn't that bad. And of course we had our own clothes then, and we could do, and we had our half days, and every other Sunday off, I think we had a whole day off on Sunday, which was quite nice. And Sheila and I had quite a good time there. We didn't disappoint them. And about just coming up to 18, I went into Stafford one morning. He never bearded them, bearded her in a den, the matron. We went in there and I said, I've enjoyed my time here, but I'm not learning anything. I want to learn more about how things are done in the kitchen. And she was a new matron, hadn't been there very long. And she said, that's all right. She said, when the committee meeting comes up, I'll see what I can do for you. So a monthly committee meeting, of course, Admiral Little, well, it was down in Portsmouth then, his wife was on the committee. And she said, the only place I know where she learned good quality cooking is at Stansted Park. She said, now I know Lady Besborough, she said, and I'll try and get in touch. And before I knew what was happening, I had an interview for a job up at Stansted Park. So anyway, I was taken up there by the matron from Hopfields, and she was sort of telling, we were met by the cook up there, and her name was Mrs. Jackson. Lovely lady, came from Eskdale in Cumberland, knew all about the mining disasters and what have you up there, different world she came from. But she'd worked for the Besborough since they came back from Canada in 1936. So she'd been up at Stansted, worked in the London House as well, you know, like they did in those days. But very, very nice lady. And I couldn't have cared less because I had raging toothache. And a year after, she said to me, honestly, Heather, if there'd been two people after the job, you would not have got it, and I would have missed the best kitchen maid I've ever had. And it was a great compliment. She was a wonderful lady. I said to her one day, I said, they talk about cross knives. I said, but we never have cross knives, do we? She said, no, we're both good-tempered. And she was she was a lovely lady. She really was. She was called Mrs. Jackson as a courtesy title, as was the housekeeper. And the cook, they were always called Mrs. But she was a Miss, actually. She came from a fairly large family, I think. And she was there for about 2 to 3 years, first 2 or 3 years I was there, and then she had to go home and look after a sister. But things were never quite the same, because Mrs. Jackson had her ways of doing things. Monday morning, you knew you had to clean the copper pans, and the copper pans came out, and you mixed up your sand and whatever, sand, vinegar and flour, I think, I don't know whether it was flour or something else. And we used to clean the pans with our hands. And when you put those pans back on the shelf, they look so wonderful. Never mind doing them, because they always look so good. And the pans for stewing were always lined with tin. So if you had a pan when you cleaned it, the inside was getting a bit scarce, then of course they were sent to be re-tinned. And it's fascinating, because you never hear of these things now. And we used to do various things. I mean, say the cooking, Mrs. Jackson was a splendid cook. I've never been able to make puff pastry like she could. She was amazing. She started off on a Friday or Saturday night, depending when the weekend started. And it would take her 24 hours to make it. It always turned out wonderful. Oh, she did. You've got used to Lady Besmer coming down to pass the menus every day. Cleaning was done mainly when they were away. They used to go away at various times, so that's when sort of spring cleaning was done. We used a small kitchen downstairs in what used to be the storeroom. The big kitchen upstairs had been forsaken because of wartime and what have you. And it was only used as a scullery, more or less. The no scullery was at the back. You said a man came in when there was only Mrs. Jackson and I in the kitchen. A man came in and dressed the game, so the pheasants were all done and the hares and rabbits and what have you. But when we had three in the kitchen, we had to do that ourselves. So we more or less did all sorts of game. You got used to it, no trouble. Occasionally, yes, about once or twice a year, yes. Now, that was brought in by the gamekeeper, more often than not. But, well, everything was brought in by the gamekeeper, but to say we used to have a man up from, Mr. Chase came up from the farm to do the pheasants, the partridge. We even had grouse sent down from Scotland. Got them down, sent down 1 August. And the things were crawling. But you still did them. You got used to doing it. It was part of the job. Well, I learned so much there. I can't tell you half of it. Yes. Oh, let's go back to the kitchen and some of the food. Because the gardener came in every morning, asked what veggies we needed, what fruit was needed. And everything came in the morning about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Once a week we used to get a bowl of butter up from the farm. We got cream up from the farm. Not every day. Lady Besmer was very fussy about keeping to the rules, in a way. But of course, so the actual rationing, as far as rationing was concerned, she kept to that. But we did have butter once a week from the farm. We did have cream once a week. And that was about it. The game came in from the gamekeeper, of course. Venison occasionally. And almost all sorts of game. We had everything from snipe to woodcock, teal, duck. What else did we have? Pheasants and partridge. Pheasants, duck, teal. We had almost everything. I mean, say Christmas time, we actually had turkey. We had chicken more or less off the farm when we needed them. Meat was plentiful in a way because of the game, really. We used to get up in the morning about 6:30, and the first job was always the servants' breakfast. And of course, it was just after the war, stuff was still rationed. And we even made sure everybody had their own butter ration on a saucer. They all knew what colour their saucers were, and their butter ration had to last them for the week.
How many staff were there?
About 9 or 10. Now, the odd job man used to come in every day. We had there's a cook and a butler. We have one footman, usually, at the time. A housekeeper and a housemaid. I've left somebody out. Oh, the lady's maid, most important. You don't forget the lady's maid. And we had great fun with her. and this is where, of course, I met Ethel Miles, or Ethel... Goebbels, as she was then. And we shared a bedroom at one time before Ethel came, because I was there before her. Before Ethel came, I had a room on my own, one of the very top rooms on the top floor, the one with a round window looking out towards the cricket pitch there. And I had that room for some time, and then for some reason I was moved into another one round the corner. And then when Ethel came as the housemaid, she and I shared a room. She was older than I was. She'd been in the arts, and I learned quite a lot from her. A lot about people, I think, because being brought up in an all-female household, you don't realise what it's like to go into a house where there are men working. I had no idea about it at all. It does sound a bit daft, but I did learn an awful lot from Ethel, because she'd seen the seedy side of army life as well, so I learnt a great deal from her in a way. But she was purely in the house, so I didn't see her during the day, not very much during the day, unless we went down the village. Sometimes we went down the village in the afternoons.
And you walk?
No, we both had bikes. I'd only learned to ride after I went up there. So I was 18 when I learned to ride, so I never was very good on a bike. but we used to have a good laughs. The afternoons were put aside during the summer and autumn for bottling fruit, veg and everything else that was going. We used to bottle pears, raspberries, what else did we bottle? All tomatoes we used to do. We always, well, probably plums, almost any fruit came up from the garden. It was all done in the afternoon. Jams were made. Chutneys and things, but not so much because that wasn't used very much. But everything that was possible to save in the garden was saved, and it was preserved in bottling jars. And we used to have a book from a company in Reading called Fowler. They were Fowler something and Lee, I think, and all their jars were theirs, and the proper steriliser. We used to do a lot of peas. We always had peas in jars. But being vegetables, they had to be sterilised twice, whereas fruit is only sterilised once. Interesting, very interesting, you know, with the various things that went on there. But you knew that if it had to be done, it had to be done in the afternoon, because you were doing cooking staff breakfast. Breakfast went upstairs at 8 o'clock, before 8 o'clock, I think. Ten past eight, because Lord Besbury normally caught a train to London about 8:30, so breakfast went upstairs. And then of course we were getting staff dinner, lunch for the dining room. And then of course in the evening we were doing evening meal. So anything had to be done over and above that was done during the afternoon. Lots of interesting things which you don't see done there. We did jams and jellies and everything, you know.
Did you consider that you worked very hard?
Not really, because it was enjoyable. Especially with Mrs. Jackson. She was a wonderful patience of Job. She watched me one day because it was my job to do the vegetables. So the vegetables were my concern. Spinach was always a bit of a subtle. If you didn't get it just right, it would not go through the sieve. And she watched me one day struggle to put it through the sieve. And she said, "One thing, girl," she said, "you'll find out. You'll make sure it's cooked properly next time, won't you?" She had a wonderful way with her.
Yeah.
And she really was. And if you can sit down and do a job, girl, sit down and do it. You're on your feet long enough. Which sort of people think is such a slavery. It is hard work, but hard work can be fun. And I've always found hard work fun and enjoyed it. I've had some purely queer jobs at times, but no. And we really did have wonderful times there. And I had 4 very happy years. Mrs. Jackson left after about 3, unfortunately. And we had an ex-Navy chef. Quite a turn up for the book. And he was a moody Welshman, unfortunately. Oh, I shouldn't say that, should I? But he was moody, I must admit. And I had another girl, Margaret, in the kitchen with us, and she used to do the washing up and all that sort of stuff at the time. And we used to wait in the kitchen for him to turn up to see what mood he was in the morning. As far as chefs go, he wasn't bad. He didn't like doing pancakes because he said he could never get them thin enough for Lady Brisbane. He says, you can do them. Because she liked her very thin crepes, you know, but of course, being a French, she probably did. But, yes, but he was a different proposition altogether. Didn't know the finer things about preserving things, I don't think, although we still went on doing it. Probably through me, I think, rather than him. But he'd worked out in Government House in Sri Lanka when he was in the Navy. So he'd actually done it. He had done posh work, so he knew what he was talking about. But anything, he wouldn't make cakes, and mate, he got the cake making job as well. But I put up with him, I think, more than, I wouldn't have said he was an easy man to get on with. But if he was in a good mood on a Saturday night, Margaret and I, the other girl in the kitchen, we would go over to his flat, and he'd have something on his wireless, and we'd stay over there jigging up and down, you know, to something. And he could be quite good company, but he was moody, so you never quite knew how he would turn up. But of course, Saturday nights was the big dinner parties. And as I say, the food was really fantastic. Everything. Lady Beth was very, very much a French woman in a way. She knew what came up to the table and she knew what came back down to the kitchen. And she would very often say, there's enough pheasant left over for us to have today. So if somebody had snaffled it between the dining room and the kitchen, it wasn't very funny. It happened occasionally, but not very often. But, yes.
Was there a French influence on your menus?
Oh, the menus were all written in French.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I always say, I think if I went to France, I might be able to manage the menu, but on the other hand, I'm not so sure nowadays. Oh, yes, they were all written in French. The only thing being, if you had an English dish, it was written in English. Yes, that's right. So the French for the French. So yes, yeah, but if it was English, definitely it was written in English. We didn't very often have steak and kidney pudding lunch, but used to have casseroles occasionally. But when it comes down to brass tacks, all cooking is simple. It doesn't matter how posh it is when it goes out, it's simply done. And the simpler it is to do, the better it looks. At least that's my way of looking at it. But everything went up, and when they did souffles, if they went up to the dining room had to ring the kitchen to find out if it was ready, and it did not go up till it was ready. And when you think they had to go from the kitchen up the stairs, because the dining room was on the next floor, it was a bit of a dodgy do. But they always waited. We always had two rings for the souffle to make sure it was ready.
And do you remember important people coming to dinner upstairs?
We didn't. In the kitchens, you don't see an awful lot of the people upstairs. But there was a... occasionally, though, they would come down to the kitchen. And we had one man came, and his name was Robert Spate. And he read the epilogue on BBC. And he wanted to come down to the kitchen. And he came down, all very artistic in his way, a dark looking bloke. And he said, really, he said, you are as much of an artist as I am, he said. Because after all, everything you send up has to look good. And anyway, after a lot of flannel, he went and left us and we had a good laugh in the kitchen. But that's the only person I can think that came down. At one time we had Lord Duncannon's nursery staying, and they stayed for quite a long time, which meant we had a nanny. And that nanny was very particular about everything. You did not do anything for the nursery. Just she set down what she wanted and she would cook it herself. I'll have some eggs today and we'll cook them up in the nursery. So we weren't even allowed to cook the eggs for the dear little darling.
I don't know how long they stay. They stay quite a long time. They must have come from France. Because he was in the embassy in France, I think, at one time. And when they left, it was the one and only time we ever got a tip in the kitchen. I can't remember what it was, but I think it was a couple of quid. Which was, I can't remember anyway what it was, but that was the one and only time. Lady Moira's nursery was quite different. Her nanny was very nice. She only used to come down now and again, so she didn't stay for long periods. But I think I'll finish for a minute. Oh yes, we had a butler up there, Mr. Wells. Didn't have a lot to do with him, but he always came in to make sure that we had the right things for the dinner parties, the right sort of vegetable dishes and what have you. And he was always good for a laugh, and we always had a laugh with him. And he came in one day to read the menu, and the fishmonger was there. And this fishmonger had come earlier in the day and bought some lobsters. We had a temporary cook because the cook was on holiday. And she said, "I'm not having those." She said, "They're cooked. You can take them back." So anyway, he took these lobsters back. And when he came back the second time was when the butler came in to read the menus. And this fishmonger tipped these live lobsters out on the kitchen floor. And the butler came in and he went and turned back at that kitchen door so fast you couldn't have seen it. It was really funny. And those sort of silly things that happened the whole time, and you know, there's always a laugh. Yes, and always got on all right with Mr. Wells. We always called him Mr. Wells. He was never called anything else. He lived in one of the lodges there. He had four boys, ranging from 16 to 1.
Good.
There was about 4 years between all of them. Frightened me to death one day after that. He asked me to go and see the baby, and I knew nothing about babies. And his wife got me holding the baby. I thought, this is a bit dodgy. But she was very nice, and always liked Mr. Wells. And of course, we always occasionally, after a dinner party, if we were going upstairs to bed, he said, "Do you want a drink?" Yeah, it's very nice. And you end up with a little drink of creme de menthe or something equally silly. And I liked Wells. He was nice. And most people were nice up there. But it was so different to the life I'd led that it's almost unbelievable. But I'm stuck now. I'm sorry. Oh dear. Well, life went on its merry way. I enjoyed it. I kept in touch with Lucy, who had moved on from Preston Candover. I wonder where she lived. I can't remember where. She lived in Orton. Her husband had returned from the wars because I hadn't met him. I'd met one of her brothers, Bill. I'd met one of her sisters, Beattie, I'd met, and Beattie's daughter, who was about 3. But I hadn't met the rest of her family. And I'd kept in contact with her ever since I'd left Preston Candover. And when I was about 20, I went back to, I spent a holiday with her in Orton, I think. And I knew she was matchmaking at the time, so it didn't really make any difference to me. But she had her younger brother come over, and he was very much like Bill that I'd known during the war. But we sort of hit it off together. We went on seeing each other for the next couple of years, and then we decided we were going to get married. When I rather regretfully left Stansted Park, because it had been my home for 4 years. And we then, of course, my husband at the time, he was working over at Newton Balance near Alton.
And so he had to get another job because he worked on the farm. And he got a job at Burke there, not far from Highclere Castle. And so we got married, and we went to live at Berkeley. Unfortunately, the job didn't turn out very brightly. The farmer was more of a trader than a farmer. My husband was a cowman. He didn't like the situation there at all. So he gave in his notice, and we moved on. We then took a job up in Marlow, Little Marlow actually, which is just outside Marlow itself, up a steep hill. Lovely place, very nice house, but the boss's son was unbelievable. You don't take two buckets over to the dairy, you take four. And it was such a funny situation, because the farmer was more or less retired. The eldest son could not stand the youngest son, so he left the farm. And the farm was left in the hands of the youngest son, who was unbelievably stupid. And so we only stayed there 4 months. So we then moved. We moved from Marlow, which I loved Marlow, because we could actually go down to pictures in an evening at Marlow. One of the few places. It took us about 5 minutes to get down into Marlow and about 3/4 of an hour to get back. But we could, if we wanted to, go to pictures. And the only place I think we ever lived where we could go to pictures in the night. And we came to Orkley. No, Swallowfield. Swallowfield. Oh yes, we went to Swallowfield. Swallowfield became our home for 8 years. The farm changed hands while we were there halfway through. And our children were born at Swallowfield. We were there, we moved in the September, did we, or March? Any case, Carol was born that year, I think she was born in 1951. Carol's the oldest one. And she was born there, born in the house, no water, no electric. But the nurse came round. She was born in the house. Wendy was also born in the house. Still no water, no electric. When my son was born, unfortunately, I had to go into hospital. Because I was expecting twins, they said, you can't have them at home. District nurse said, rubbish. She said, I've delivered them children at home, she said, when they've had no electric. But anyway, it was just as well, because I lost one. But so I had Keith in Reading, in the Battle Hospital at Reading. I don't know if it's still there, I think it is. Opposite Reading West Station. You heard trains from about 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God, that was awful. And I was only in there about 2 or 3 days. But so the children were all born at Swallowfield. And the farmer who took over the farm after 4 years, he had 3 sons and a daughter. I think it was 3 sons. Oh yes, because he had an older one, didn't he? And of course, by the time the last one left school, he had no need of my husband. So then we moved on again. Keith was 3, so Carol must have been 7. Oh yes, Carol, just before Carol was 7, because we moved in September, and she was 7 in December. So Keith was wasn't quite 3. Kept asking, when are we going home, Mum? Oh, we did. He was so upset. It took him a long time. But that one didn't. We moved up to Hawkley, just outside of this. And there's more or less where the kids did their schooling till Carol was 16. How old were you when we left Hawkley? Oh, of course we did, didn't we? We moved down to Mabbots, which is part of Hawkley. It's only 18 months then, though. So you were 14 when we left Mabbots, were you? 14. Of course, the brains of the family over there, she came down to school in Havant anyway, so Carol, at one time we had Carol at Petersfield, we had Wendy at Havant Grammar, and we had Keith at the local school. So, yeah,
Yeah, but it worked out quite well because one of Wendy's friends also passed at the same time, and if there was a meeting at the school, he'd come up and collect me. So although he was a peculiar man, at least we managed to get down to the important meetings. And then of course we moved down to Mabbetts, and then why did we leave there? Oh, the house was so cold. He sold the cows. Oh yes. Oh dear. Yes. Oh, I've forgotten that. Oh yes, he was most annoyed. He worked for a lady, a Miss Taylor, and she loved her animals. But she got tied up with a farm manager who used to do the most outrageous things to annoy her. He really did, and he sold some of the cows, and she was very upset about it. And when he sold the bull, she nearly cried. A pedigree Jersey herd, oh dear, yes. So we couldn't bear it any longer. I got on all right with Miss Taylor, she was all right, but she actually married the farm manager. And as Wendy, yeah. And stayed married to him, yes, yeah, apparently. Sounds as though she might be. But he was a nasty man, I think, quite honestly. She came from a very rich family. Her father, at one time, was the chairman of the board of Cowan Gate. So that'll tell you the sort of... But the dreadful thing was, and it should never happen, of course she was sent to a private school till she was about 18, and then they more or less found her a dress shop and expected her to look after it. She suffered a lot with mental traumas and what have you. It was wicked to do that to a child, to live in the lap of luxury till you were that age and then be expected to know what to do. Up to Hawkley then, didn't we? No, Ramsdean, didn't we? Oh, Ramsdean. Ramsdean was lovely. I liked Ramsdean. It was a little cottage. It was a happy house, wasn't it? Rather surprisingly. But unfortunately, it didn't last long because my husband had a stroke. And he said he was not to go back on the farm. Not to work near fire, he's not to do this, not to do that. So, 49. So then he was off work for a long time, but he found a job up at the up at HMS Mercury as a cleaner. Then we had to get, of course, the farm had to get us out the house, unfortunately, but the council and the farmer sort of worked together over it. We must admit it must have been a joint thing because nobody was hassling anyone. And that's when we came down to Rowlands Castle.
No,
yeah, yes, as a council house, yeah. 1970, yeah. Yeah. That's a funny old life.
And did you work after your marriage?
Yes, I had a go at most things. Because my husband, being a farm labourer, you used to get raped in for various things. I didn't work for the first year, I don't think. And it wasn't until we got to Swallowfield that I worked at all. Then I used to go and do the housework on the farmhouse. Until the farm changed hands, I worked down there. And then when the new farmer took over, I still went down there, but it was a different setup altogether. They were more like, well, they used to say Mrs. Vickery came from gypsy stock, whether she did or not, I don't know.